Hello and welcome to the Vine Life Podcast. I'm Tony Clark, your host. I've got a special guest on today's program. His name is Paul Peterson. Now, Paul has been an actor, a singer, a novelist, also an advocate. He's probably best known as an actor for playing Jeff Stone on The Donna Reed Show from the late 50s to the mid 60s. In 1990, Peterson, or Paul, established the organization A Minor Consideration to support child actors and other child laborers through legislation, family education, and personal intervention and counseling for those in crisis. More information can be found. If you're looking for more information about A Minor Consideration, you can simply go to aminorconsideration.org.
And that's of course, right. .org is important.
Yes, sir. Aminorconsideration.org. If you want to learn more about Paul, you can go to paulpeterson.com. And that's Peterson, S-E-N, Peterson.com. Paul, correct. It's an honor to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you, Tony. And interesting at in this time frame, given the troubles over the Nickelodeon kids, which has been much in the news with the documentary Quiet on the Set. Because once again, even though I'm getting up there, it has galvanized the former KidStar community once again, because we are shocked that so many bad things happen to the current kid actors on Nickelodeon channels.
And Paul, that's interesting. And in today's interview, I really want to focus on A Minor Consideration and all of the work that you've done for many years for former child actors and the legislation that you're pushing and so forth. But you sent me a link about that documentary, Quiet on the Set. And yes. My wife and I, we've been watching that. I think we're up to episode 5 now. And Paul, to be honest with you, I'm ignorant. I had no idea that type of abuse was still happening in the year 2015, 2020, earlier. I had no idea.
Well, this is what is, for me, there are no surprises here. You know, when we started A Minor Consideration, some of the elderly people that immediately came to our organization were folks like Mickey Rooney and folks like Diana Sarah Carey. These were people who were stars in the 1920s and the 1930s. And the abuses they suffered, and which they've admitted to quite openly, have been duplicated, sadly, about every 10 years over and over and over again. Because, Tony, the composition of a kid star has always been the same. Ambitious parents, proximity to Hollywood, a certain lack of stature, I mean physical stature. And for young girls, how quickly your chest develops. There you are. So all of those elements remain the same. Jackie Cooper explained to me that his measure for kid stars had a cutoff. And the cutoff is, when did the career come to an end? And I must tell you, after years of experience in writing books about this, Walt, Mickey, and Me, for example, his predictive abilities have proven out. And A Minor Consideration got started when three friends of mine, Tim Ovey and Trent Lehman, and most famously, Rusty Hamer from Danny Thomas's show, killed themselves all about the same time. And I just got tired of going to funerals. That's the truth.
Well, and I've heard your story about that in the past, of what really motivated you to start this organization. Paul, if you could go back in time, to a younger self, right after the Donna Reed show, when work was harder to get in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for that younger Paul Peterson? What would you tell him?
Absolutely. It's exactly what Mickey Rooney told me face to face. Get out of town and get your education. The key break when the project you're doing that's made you famous comes to an end, go to school. Go to college. That's what you were working for. Get out of town. Kind of shed the Hollywood wardrobe, if you will, and learn to socialize with your contemporaries and open your ears. That's the advice I would give to myself. I had opportunities to make significant breaks. The draft was in effect when I turned 18. And when I was taken down from my physical, a master sergeant said to me, "We can't take you. You're a PONP. I said, "What the hell is a PONP? Person of National Prominence. In other words, I wasn't going to get my ass shot off in Vietnam. And there were other opportunities. You know, I had the money. I had the grades. I certainly did. I had the kind of sponsors you need for any school I wanted to go to. But I wanted to do that next movie. I wanted to be in the next series. I didn't want to leave Hollywood. That's my failing. So that's the advice I would give to the much younger me.
And Paul, you know, looking at this documentary that we've been watching quite on the set.
Yes.
It's from my understanding, when you were a child actor, the folks around you really protected you. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Look at the quality of the character of Donna Reed and Carl Betts. Donna Reed was an Academy Award-winning actress. Carl Betts had won the Carnegie Award from Carnegie University, shared it with Robert Ludlum, the novelist. They cared about not just me, but Shelley Fabre. The crew was fantastic, industry veterans from top to bottom. I couldn't get away with anything, believe me. And my mother in those days, because I was largely on my own, said, "How could I improve on Donna Reed?" I called Donna Reed Mom. I really did. And I wasn't a bad kid. I was rambunctious and I got around, but I didn't try to hurt anybody.
Paul, okay. I'm curious, did you see any of similar abuse of former actors when you were in Hollywood, or were you so sheltered that you saw none of that, maybe on other sets or movies or something like that?
No, there was plenty visible for an insider like me. Jay North, who was Dennis the Menace, was on an adjacent stage. We were on stage one. He was on stage seven. We certainly knew about some of the difficulties faced by Bobby Driscoll from Disney. Yes, we heard the whispers. We even knew who the bad guys were, who you stayed away from. There were people that we were warned off and told, you know, don't associate with this group or that person or go to that club. So I heard about a lot of things. The young man that I did a movie with called Houseboat, Charlie Herbert. Charlie Herbert was a wonderful little actor. He starred in The Fly, Houseboat with me. And we saw the abuse right in our face. Neither one of his parents worked. And his brother and sister lived off Charlie's labor. And Mimi Gibson, when she turned 18, she played our sister, woke up one morning and realized she was the only person working in her family. And there was no money. Nuts. So sure, there were plenty of warning signs.
Well, what is it? And I'm just trying to dig in and understand a lot of these really bad stories of child actors. But what is it with the parents that seem to have hitched their wagon to a child with their income is from that child? What's the danger in that?
Well, the danger, it ought to be obvious to everyone. If the parents are living through their child, they are making a mistake. If they are overly ambitious and prepared to look the other way when, for example, their 13 or 14-year-old daughter is suddenly being sexually molested, you got a problem. If they don't focus on character development and education, you've got a problem. Parents all around the world protect their children. And I don't care if you're talking about Mumbai or you're talking about Hollywood. Vigilant parents on the set have the authority to protect their children. If necessary, actually walk out in front of the camera and say, "That's it. We're done. We're leaving." And I've seen that happen too.
Well, I'm curious, what's the process with a minor consideration? You've got apparently a lot of good folks working with you, right? What's the process of going to a former actor that's in trouble? How do you do that? That seems to be a touchy subject. How would you do that?
We have to be notified. We're not out there seeking trouble, but we'll get a call from a drug dealer. "Hey, you got to get in touch with such and so, because he's consuming too many drugs." Or a coworker may call, or the producer, or the agent. It's very rare that a parent makes contact with us when they see the trouble. In fact, our contact with parents usually is in the form of 15, 20 years later when they come up to me and say, "Why didn't I listen to you?" Parents have an elemental role here. They can protect their children. But many of them suddenly have that manicurist appointment and service on their new Mercedes is much more important than making sure a crew member isn't inappropriately touching their child. It comes down to the content of the part you're playing. Imagine the terrible conflict, emotional conflict, of playing the part of Lolita in a movie. It was bad enough for Sue Lyon, and even worse with Dominic Swain when they did a remake of Lolita. And even knowing how bad things went for Sue, 5,000 moms brought their daughters to the auditions.
Wow.
They wanted to play Lolita. Remember, too, Tony, an important point. Because the guy, unfortunately, is still regarded as some sort of iconic hero in Hollywood. When Roman Polanski was convicted of sexually assaulting a minor, it was a 13-year-old actress whose mother brought her to Roman Polanski. Well, there you go.
That's extremely sad. Paul, this is a minor consideration. The folks that you've got, the folks on your team, are they all former child actors, or do you have a combination of different individuals? How does that work?
Well, we have lawyers, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and literally a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists, because in the end, therapy is called for. Nearly all of us, and this is, we're talking, 1,000 former kid stars over the years, they've had their addiction problems and had to overcome them. Not all did. Some we've been working with for many years. Some sadly have passed away and we had to bury them, like Lee Aker from Rin Tin Tin. That stuff happens. Well, we're not perfect people, but what is undeniable is that we did the work. We did the work. We signed the autographs, not our parents, not our brothers and our sisters. It's us.
Paul, it's my understanding, once a child, in other words, a child actor is pretty much always known as a child actor, and they they get to the point where they can't get work anymore. Is that correct? Once they start getting older, has that been the pattern?
That is the pattern, especially for boys. They become old meat. I don't know what else you call it. When I would complain to a very good friend of mine, one of my best friends in Hollywood, Tony Dow, who was in a position to hire performers because of his directorial career, I asked him, well, why aren't you hiring former kid stars? And he said, Paul, not every former kid star is a good actor. And he's right.
You know, that's so contrary, though, watching you as a younger man and as a young boy on the Donna Reed Show, the chemistry between all of the actors, all of you were extremely good actors. And I'm not sure you can say that about a lot of other TV shows of that genre or even since. But watching the Donna Reed Show.
Nickelodeon. Yeah. Not at Nickelodeon these days. They don't hire quality performers. You know, I used to chuckle like with Debbie Reynolds, you know, who could sing, who could dance, who knew Hollywood backwards and forwards. The kids aren't as good as they used to be. I mean, close your eyes for a second and just think about Shirley Temple's skill level. It wasn't just the acting. She could sing. She could dance. She was a wonderful person to do a scene with. There was a level of excellence that sadly Hollywood doesn't care about anymore. Now it's the Kardashians.
Oh, what type of advice do you have for parents who are dead set to get their small children involved in Hollywood?
Well, I tell them mostly to pay attention. If you're pulling your kid out of swim school and they enjoy swimming to go on audition, you're making a mistake. If you think it's more important to go on audition where the chances are really quite slim that you'll get the part, when your kid's got a baseball game to pitch, you're making a big mistake. If you let their education slide or you begin to separate them from other kids because of their talent, it might be musical, it might be dance, it might be acting, you're making a mistake. The trick is to raise a well-rounded kid. And life in Hollywood doesn't create well-rounded kids.
Can you talk about maybe some of the success stories that you've had with a minor consideration? I know that there have been some tragedies well, but can you talk about some of the success stories over the years?
Well, sure. Miko Hughes from Kindergarten Cop, whose father was living off of his son's income buying twin-engine planes, was successful in getting his father out of his business and has gone on to a successful work within the industry. Jay North recovered from deep psychological wounding to move away from Hollywood and pick up his employment in Florida. He has now since retired. We have some real serious successes. Katie Kurtzman. Sometimes we're just the cheerleading squad, like watching Patty Duke or Melissa Gilbert prosper as adult performers. It's a wonder for us. We love it. We're their biggest fans. So, yeah, we have successes, too. Watching Todd Bridges from Different Strokes catch his balance and set about doing good works. Now, those are important milestones. And of course, there's really lots more. It's quite satisfying to be on the right side of improvement.
Absolutely, absolutely. Paul, where do you want to see a minor consideration go? What's your vision for a minor consideration?
I hope it continues without me. You know, I'm going to be 78 this year. It has been my life's work, really, since I wrote Walt, Mickey, and Me in 1977. So this has been a long haul, and there are others just as experienced as me, who are just as ornery and independent as me, I want them to carry on, because there will always be kid actors, and the elements that threaten them will always be the same, always. It's funny, when a minor consideration started, before we even got into legislation, I had a breakfast with Jackie Cooper and asked him, how do you handle this stuff? Because he's had a wonderful career. And he said, Paul, I look at a young performer, and first I ask, what is the composition of their family? Is it a mom and dad with brothers and sisters? Then I ask, what kind of part made them famous? Were they a bad kid from the wrong side of the tracks? Were they sexually attractive? And then I ask the essential question, how old were they when their career came to an end? That's the sad reality for kid stars. The careers stop.
Paul, if someone's out there, they're either listening to this interview on a podcast or watching on a video channel, how can they support a minor consideration?
Well, we're a 501c3. We are a federally recognized charity. We depend on donations. This all doesn't come out of our pockets. People have been sporadically generous, particularly if there's a kid actor that they themselves are fond of, and we're trying to help. They've stepped up. But it's an expensive enterprise these days, and hopefully of the current group of former kid stars who are in their mid to late 30s, someone there will pick up the reins, because, as you can tell, I'm on oxygen, and as I said, I'm going to be 79, so it's time to pass the torch.
Well, Paul, just from the outside, it looks like you've been used in an amazing way to rescue folks that are in a hard situation, folks that you can relate with. And I just encourage you, folks that are listening, if you want to support this 501c3 organization, a minor consideration, you can go to the website, which is aminorconsideration.org. Again, aminorconsideration.org. And it's something that's certainly worth your support. So I certainly encourage you to do that. Paul, I can't thank you enough. Yes, sir.
I thank you for mentioning that, because it is an essential element. I know when Johnny Crawford became ill, and the dementia was crowding his life, the community was really quite generous with GoFundMe. We don't have a specific GoFundMe page anymore, because that depends on a specific person. But generally, people can find me anytime. I'm around. My number is listed. And the theatrical unions have been good about putting people in contact with me or others in the group when there's a need. And that goes for the Actors Fund, the Community Fund, the SAG Foundation, the AFTRA Foundation. Folks in the industry know about us.
Very well. Paul Peterson with a minor consideration. And you can find that again at minorconsideration.org. Once again, a minorconsideration.org. Paul, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your amazing nonprofit.
Great. Thank you, Tony. It's been my pleasure.